Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, the 6th of January, 2023. Welcome you back to the Todd Albaugh Show along with our host, producer, engineer, all-around great guy, gamer, board gamer, Aaron Zommers. We appreciate you being here, Mr. Zommers, into hour three.
I'm picking up a lot of titles here.
just throwing them out. Just giving out titles left and right today. Yeah, it's as you said, you remember you didn't first believe the January 6th event. It was still incredible to you. I was in my coffee shop watching on TV, so spending some time today remembering January 6th, and we'll do a little bit more of that in this half hour. Take your calls as well if you'd like to call in. 715-388-7155. Again, 715-388-7155.
Yeah, I remember before I saw any pictures or videos, I heard people using the word insurrection, and I was like, insurrection? You just mean there's people outside who are like, you're bad, right?
Right.
No, it was a lot worse than that.
It was an actual insurrection. And yeah, it was much more serious than anybody had first thought would happen. And I know one person texted in earlier, a little bit earlier, and asking me to, again, I mentioned the Confederate flag earlier. The significance, of course, the Confederate flag was the flag of the Confederacy during the Civil War. And it was was and is a flag of treason. It represents the complete opposite of the Stars and Stripes, the flag of the United States of America. So to have the Confederate flag flying around the U.S. Capitol was just gut-wrenching, certainly for me, and I know for a lot of other people. Coming up at the bottom of the hour today at 10:30, April Zeemer, editor of the Amory Free Press and president of the Amory Community Club, will be joining us live at the bottom of the hour via Zoom. Look forward to talking with her, finding out what's popping up in Amory and all good things up there. So looking forward to talking to her at the bottom of the hour. Right now, a couple of weather headlines for you. If you are up in Amory today, expect to see some freezing fog probably ending about now or shortly thereafter. And then later on, mostly sunny skies this afternoon in Amory. Expect a high near 17 degrees. Tonight, freezing fog and a low of zero. Tomorrow, Saturday, freezing fog in the morning. And then sunny, a high of 19 degrees in Amory for Saturday. Down in Wausau today, mostly cloudy, a high of 24. Tonight, patchy fog, a low of 4. And then for tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, sunny in the afternoon in Wausau, and a high of 26. In Richland Center today, gradual clearing this morning, a high of 23 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 10. And tomorrow, Saturday, a high of 32 degrees. Nice, beautiful, sunny Saturday across most of Wisconsin tomorrow, so looking forward to that indeed. The battle for the House Speaker will resume for a fourth day today. Looking at the wires, apparently House Republicans are in a conference call right now. They didn't want to put him in a room, keeping him on the phone in a conference call. Reports are that Kevin McCarthy has struck a deal with at least one of the 21 members voting against him. So he's making progress, apparently. He only has 20 more votes to go, or 15, or whatever he needs. He can only afford four defections.
I feel like at the end of this, if he does get elected, it's going to be like Speaker of the House on Wednesdays, right, when it is overcast,
right,
and also he's going to get voted out again 10 minutes after elected.
They're saying he'll be the shortest speaker in history if he does become speaker. But we shall see. It drags on. It's the longest speaker contest now in 164 years, according to historians. We will see. There'll be more votes. They're going back to the floor today at 11 o'clock our time at noon Eastern. The House continues. NFL news. The 32 teams of the NFL are set for their final scheduled regular season games this weekend, including the Green Bay Packers, who take on the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football. Win and they are in the playoffs. But many players across the league are contemplating an emotional return to the field in the wake of DeMar Hamlin's mid-game cardiac arrest. This morning, doctors said the 24-year-old Buffalo Bill player is awake in the Cincinnati hospital, is neurologically sound, and is moving his hands and feet. And news just across the wire here moments ago, according to CBS, Bill's safety, DeMar Hamlin, is breathing on his own now and talking again to his family this morning. So great news. He is able to talk, able to visit with his family, and is breathing on his own. So that is great news for a Friday as we head into the weekend. Other news this morning, Immigration President Biden announced that he is expanding a program to accept up to 30,000 migrants per month from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, along with a plan to expel as many migrants from those countries who circumvent U.S. laws. In a speech at the White House, Biden unveiled plans to visit the U.S. southern border this weekend, stopping in El Paso, Texas, to meet with local officials and address border security issues. Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered a temporary ceasefire in Ukraine for 36 hours beginning today to allow Orthodox Christians to attend Christmas services, but the proposal was swiftly dismissed as hypocrisy by Ukrainian officials. During his nightly address last night, Ukrainian President Zelensky announced or voiced skepticism about the temporary ceasefire, calling it a cover in order for Russia to resupply equipment and ammunition. We'll come back. More remembrances and thoughts about January 6th. And then at the bottom of the hour, we have April Zimmer, editor of the Amory Free Press, news from Amory. Stay with us. Hour number three, the Tom Ball Show rolls on. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Back to the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10:15. Whether you're listening in WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in Wausau, or WXCE in Amory, we welcome you in, or maybe, just maybe, one of the cool kids who have logged on to our improved. They're making improvements on it. We thank Luke Mathers and Corey and all the folks helping out, and Sage, making improvements to our live stream. So you can listen to us anywhere, anytime. Go to your smartphone, go to your app store, download the Civic Media app. That's C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media, as in civics. So Civic Media app, download that puppy. It's free, takes less than a minute, and then open it up. And then you'll go to the left-hand side where it says Other Stations. You click Other Stations, and then you scroll down to WRCE, News in the Center. Kind of a cool blue and neon green logo. Click on that. It'll open it up and you can listen to us anywhere you have cell phone service or Wi-Fi. Monday through Friday, 8 until 11, Mr. Zomers and I and all of our cast of characters and wonderful guests and your phone calls. You can participate. So try it out. And you can listen to not just my show, our show, but you can listen to any of the fine programs here on Civic Media, the Civic Media app, streaming wherever you are. You can also stream via Alexa. We're on Facebook, Twitter, soon to be YouTube. We're everywhere. We're just happy that you are here along with us on the second anniversary of the insurrection of January 6th. Been talking about that this morning. And there was a ceremony on the steps of the Capitol this morning to remember the events of 2 years ago. And I don't know any greater way to example to show this, the contrast between the two parties right now. And I want to be quick to add, I did not see this live, but Aaron and I have looked online to do our best. To the best of our knowledge, there was no leadership from the Republican side at this event. And it appears the reason why is because they're on a phone call. Their conference is on a phone call to try to figure out who's going to be the next speaker. They're so incompetent and so inept that they can't even, you know, they can't figure this out. So instead of taking 20 minutes, a half an hour this morning, to simply walk outside or across the street and say, look, we're going to take 15 minutes, 30 minutes and honor the folks of January 6th, then we'll get back to our conference. No. They remain on this conference call And so this event apparently was mostly, if not all, Democrats from the House of Representatives.
Well, the Republican Party, if they can't collectively disavow Trump and even like agree that these were heinous acts and that the election was real and all that stuff, then how can we expect them to show up to this? Because that would imply that they believe the truth.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They're kind of screwed, right? If they go to events like this, Aaron's right. Then you have to kind of admit all these things we talked about last hour with General Miley are true. You're right, Aaron. But good on the Democrats, because if you watch, like I have been watching on CNN or C-SPAN or whatever, the events of this speaker election, the Democrats are unified. They've got their act together. They're acting like an actual, and it was pointed out last night, by the way, by an analyst. Nancy Pelosi had the same number of members in her caucus, 222. And they passed extraordinary legislation that got signed into law. Nancy Pelosi, whether you like her or not, she got things done. She is an actual leader. She can run an organization. And the Republicans can't even find enough votes to have a speaker. But I want to not go down that road too far today. I want to take time to bring a couple of comments from now former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who is joined by congressional colleagues, majority of whom were Democratic. And here's what Nancy Pelosi had to say on this occasion of the anniversary of January 6th.
From the unspeakable horror sprang extraordinary heroism. Law enforcement heroes confronted the insurrectionists to protect the Capitol, the Congress, and our Constitution. The January 6th insurrection shook our republic to the core. For many in the Congress and across our country, the physical, psychological, and emotional scars are still raw. Thank you to the families for considering us worthy to share your grief, to honor your loss.
Now, what it was many of the families whose loved ones were lost, law enforcement officials on January 6th, were there to be honored. And I believe President Joe Biden is going to honor them further later on today. Also at the event, in addition to former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, the current Democratic leader of the House, and currently the highest vote getter for the next Speaker, Hakeem Jeffries, also was in attendance. And here were his thoughts this morning.
We are gathered here to honor their memory and acknowledge with deep gratitude the tremendous bravery of the hundreds of officers who defended us at this citadel of democracy that fateful day.
Hakeem Jeffries, Democratic leader of the House of Representatives. I don't know, you listen to that, and that doesn't sound like people who are anti-law enforcement to me. It sounds like people who love their country and who deeply respect and are appreciative of our law enforcement. And where were the Republicans today? Cloistered inside their houses or inside their offices, trying to elect a speaker.
And as we said, we were not there. However, somebody who was there, Rachel Scott from ABC News, here's a quick clip of what she saw as far as Republicans in attendance.
As I was watching those members of Congress walk down the steps of the United States Capitol, I didn't notice very many Republican faces. Democrats coming to honor the officers who defended that building that day. Even the members that stood shoulder to shoulder through the violence and the chaos inside of the House chamber can't even agree on how to define the events from that day.
Nicely done, Aaron. Thank you for getting that clip. That was ABC News reporter. Again, what's her name? I'm sorry, Aaron.
Rachel Scott.
Thank you. Rachel Scott from ABC News giving us on-the-ground reporting right there. So again, the vast majority of folks who are attending this event to honor the fallen from January 6th police officers, overwhelmingly from the Democratic side of the aisle. And true leadership, like Nancy Pelosi and Hakeem Jeffries, were there to honor our law enforcement folks and remember this day. And we appreciate that. Article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today on Derek Van Orten, the congressman-elect, because he's not sworn in yet, because we don't have a speaker. Derek Van Orten, this is Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, reported by Lawrence Andre. He was at the Capitol this week. Derek Van Orten returned and pledged bipartisanship and regret surrounding his presence outside the same building as violence raged 2 years prior.
Although, quick question, speaking of just being a congressman-elect, if McCarthy were to be voted in with the caveat that only one person would need to start a vote to oust him, that person would have to be a member of the House, so everybody would get sworn in.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So it would get us somewhere, just not very far.
Sure. I mean, if they can come to an agreement and McCarthy gets 218 votes, then at that point we have a speaker, and at that point you can swear in the entire House of Representatives. That is true. Someone just needs to get 218 votes.
Right. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to right. clarify that.
Thank you. This article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today says Derek Van Orten told the Journal Sentinel he does not regret supporting former President Donald Trump's false claims about the 2020 election, framing them as election integrity concerns. But suggests Van Orten does, he wishes he did not attend the Trump rally that preceded the deadly attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, if it would have prevented the public from believing he embraced the violence. So let's just get that clear for a second. He does not regret supporting the proven false claims about the 2020 election. Doesn't regret supporting the big lie. But he suggests he did wish that he didn't attend the rally, the Trump rally, that preceded the insurrection, if it would have prevented the public from believing that he embraced the violence. So in other words, he regrets the perception. Quote, "I don't regret supporting voter integrity," he said. "But if you look at, in hindsight, like the volume of stuff, the way it could have been interpreted, that I would support political violence, that is regretful. If that made people think that I support political violence, that is a regret, because I don't support political violence." Republican is poised to be sworn in as Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District Congressman. He's faced criticisms over the last 2 years for being near the Capitol as thousands of Trump supporters forced their way into the building in an attempt to stop the certification of Joe Biden's presidential election victory, which has been affirmed by recounts, audits, and court rulings. His latest comments provide new insight onto his views that shadowed his campaign and followed him into his first term of Congress. Van Orten claims and maintains that he never entered the Capitol on January 6th and left the area before the violence began. He said he walked away from the Capitol during the insurrection and noted that and that he tweeted that he condemned, quote, all forms of political violence as the rioters were in the building. However, a photograph of Van Orten on a wall near the Capitol and wearing earbud headphones later circulated, with a report from the Daily Beast contending Van Orten entered an area characterized as being beyond police barricades. Van Orten told the Journal Sentinel this week that that the wall that he was on was, quote, 450 meters away from the Capitol. He noted he was wearing Beats by Dre earbuds, joking that the Democrats who suggest the earbuds could have been used to communicate with rioters, quote, don't like hip-hop. Oh, ha-ha. When asked if he meant he was listening to music at the time, Van Orten responded, "Here's my point. They came up with the kookiest conspiracy theories in the world. I was a Navy SEAL for over 21 years. I have 5 combat tours. At no time did I ever wear Beats from Dr. Dre to lead an operation." He said he was, quote, only standing near the wall and claimed he normally walks around with earbuds in. Now poised to become a sworn member of Congress, Van Orten appears to be attempting to shift the image. He arrived at the Capitol for the first day of the new Congress in a Harley Davidson, what he calls his Milwaukee Iron, and spoke of bipartisanship, calling working across party lines absolutely imperative. He said he would, quote, work with anybody as long as they meet these certain conditions. Quote, everything is coming to me. Try this again. Everything you're coming to me with is legally, morally, and ethically correct. You're putting the interests of the district, the state, and the country above your own personal, political, and financial interests. If you meet those four criteria, he says, we can talk. Derek Van Orten posted the picture himself. He was proud of it. He was there. And now he's a congressman. He's gotten caught by the short hairs. Lots more on Derek Van Orten next week. He's an insurrectionist is what he is, because he was there and he supported it. Back with April Zimmer after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wonderland, Winter Wonderland.
Welcome back to the Tom Arbuckle Show. Wonderland. It is 10:33 on the Civic Media Network on a Friday. And it is a Winter Wonderland in northern Wisconsin. It's not only a white Christmas, but I think continues to be white as well. Please welcome back to our show, April Zimmer, editor of the Amory Free Press and president of the Amory Community Club. April, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, and welcome in from the Northwoods.
Thank you for having me back.
Oh, our pleasure. I know we talked last time you were on, talked about having the holiday stroll up in Amory there. And just want to update folks. How did that go for you folks?
Oh, it was fantastic. A day full of activities, s'mores in the park, carolers, chili feed, ugly sweater run, and lighting up the town. So it was a great day. And if you missed it this year, we'll welcome you back next year, or visiting it for the first time, first Saturday in December.
Awesome. Well, I'll put that in the calendar and try to make it up. Well, we should have our actual studios all built out next year, so maybe we could do the show live from up at Amory next year. That'd be or this year, I should say.
I love that.
But yeah, we're looking forward to that. Well, I'm glad it was a good event up there. Just update, folks, for those of us down in the more southern part of the state. We saw this big storm come and hit the Twin Cities and kind of into Wisconsin. Some place looking at like 15 inches. How much did you guys get in Amory?
We got between 11 and 12 in Amory, so we didn't get hit as hard as St. Paul, Minneapolis with the 15, but it was surely enough to cancel school.
Sure.
And have some work from home days as well.
but it probably is beautiful right now. I mean, all the snow.
It's gorgeous. The sight of it is beautiful. It tends to be a pain to drive,
right.
But it is a beautiful sight.
I think one of the great things I love about northern Wisconsin and places like Amory is that, you know, some people, I've been guilty at times. See, the snow doesn't bother me as much as like when it gets bitterly cold. But I know some of us will say, oh, geez, you know, it's winter. What I love about the Amory area is that you folks embrace all four seasons. And tell folks a little bit, if you could, please, kind of about some of the winter activities that people could do in and around Amory if they want to head up there and or over there and be part of that.
Sure. Well, actually, what I feel used to be the biggest winter activity in Amory no longer exists, because when I was a kid, the biggest winter activity was watching the school closures across the street at the bottom and always having them be on letter B when you turned on the TV and having them wait for Amory again.
I like
but
that.
Since that no longer is an issue for kids these days, there's plenty to offer with snowmobiling, snowshoeing, and ice fishing. Those three things are huge in our area. Cross-country skiing as well. But there's been a lot of people out ice fishing already. My husband and kids were out last week catching some killer northern on the Apple River.
Wow, that's amazing. I think, and again, I think that a lot of folks, I mean, down here, the Lake Mendota froze over a couple weeks ago, but then thawed again after we had the warm weather down here. So it's a lot harder to have that consistent ice a little bit further south that you go. But it sounds like the Apple River is a fine shape to do some ice fishing, and people want to head over there.
Yep. Yeah, people have been fishing on the Apple River. Of course, Amory is a city of lakes. So we have Lake Wapagasset, we have North Twin, South Twin, Pike Lake, all within a minute's reach. And there's a lot of ice fishing going on, and we have some really big ice fishing contests coming up in the area. The annual St. Joe's contest on North Twin Lake is the last weekend of January.
Nice.
And the Lions Wanderoos ice fishing contest on Lake Wapagasset is the first weekend of February.
Oh, wow. So almost back-to-back ice fishing contest. If you don't get your northern one weekend, you can try the next.
Right. Or if you don't get them at all, you can still probably sit and drink and win prizes.
Well, there you go. You can't beat that, right?
No. Always a good time.
And I think one of the things I like doing is just kind of featuring local businesses and local places to go in addition. So, I mean, when people go and do ice fishing or they do some snowshoeing, do some snowmobiling, if you don't want to stay outside the whole time or once you get done with that outside activity, tell folks about maybe some of the cool shops or restaurants, that sort of thing, on the inside during this time of year at Amory.
Absolutely. Well, to start with places to eat and drink, Amory has a really good variety. We have Garibaldi's, which is a Mexican restaurant. If you're just looking for a nice family restaurant, we have the Amory Family Restaurant open from morning until night. All kinds of food. We have Farm Table, which is locally produced food all around Amory.
Nice.
And they're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We have our share of taverns in town, all that have snacks, and the TAC 2 actually has fantastic bar food. Great nice. Variety. And then for your shopping needs, you have everything in Amory as well. We have everything from boutiques to gift shops, hardware stores with some unique finds in them as well. We have two grocery stores. Dick's Market is our larger store, and we have Save-A-Lot. So anything you could possibly want to find, you could find in Amory.
Any suggestions or recommendations? Suppose people, if they're going to come from south of 29, probably going to want to have a hotel. Any recommendations for places to stay in the area?
Sure. We have the Forest Inn Motel in Amory. Offers comfortable beds, nice rooms. It's right next door to the hockey rink in Amory.
Oh, nice.
Which is offer open skate twice a week. So if you want to come stay and play, you could skate, fish, ski, snowmobile, all of it.
Fantastic. That's awesome. You're also, in addition to being the president of the Amory Community Club, you are the editor of the Amory Free Press, and we're big fans of local media and doing that sort of thing, covering your community. Give folks that aren't in the Amory area kind of a sense of maybe top one or two news stories you folks have been covering around the Amory area for the Amory Free Press.
Sure. Well, one of the biggest news stories right now is that Amory just hired a new police chief. Out of Milwaukee.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So he is going to come up and join us the end of January. So that's a really big deal. The theme in Amory lately has been a lot of new faces.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new mayor in Amory this year, some new city council members, the new chief of police, and a new library director. So a lot of new faces in town.
How does that change a community? I mean, I grew up in Richland Center, a town of 5,000 people, and it's kind of a yin and the yang, right? I mean, you have people have lived there maybe all their lives and grown up and know the community, and that's always good to have that kind of, you know, institutional knowledge, I guess, for lack of a better term. But I also think there's something to be said for new faces to come in from outside the community that might give a different perspective, a little bit of new blood, and to help move those communities forward. How does that kind of shake it out in Amory?
Sure. I couldn't agree with your sentiments more. In fact, what's really cool right now about the Amory City Council is that three of the members of the council have lived here for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Two were born and raised here. The other one has lived here, you know, most of his adult life. And then we have three people who are newer to the community.
Mm-hmm.
That have just moved here within the past few years. And on our city council, we have people ranging in age probably from their early 20s up to their 70s on the council.
Wow.
So a lot of different perspectives on what they would like to see in Amory.
That is super impressive. How what's the population of Amory, more or less?
We're sitting at about 3,000.
Wow. So a town of 3,000 people, and you have people from their 20s to, what you said, their 70s on city council? I mean,
correct.
To have that kind of diversity in that size of a community, that is super impressive.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the only thing that could make it better would be a little bit more community involvement. I encourage people, you have ideas, thoughts, concerns, show up at your city council meetings, or in the least, what's great about Emory is they record all of their meetings and you can log on and watch them on YouTube.
That's really impressive as well. We're big fans of community involvement as well at Civic Media, and that's why I want to have folks like you on a regular basis to make sure we're getting the local voice out. What are some of the issues that the city council are looking at for the new year? I know we've talked to other mayors and other places looking at shared revenue costs coming into the community, looking at infrastructure things. What are the top issues from your perch as both the editor of the Amory Free Press and the president of the Amory Community Club? What are the issues that the city council and local folks are going to have to deal with in 2023?
So one of the biggest issues in Emory is housing. We have a lack of housing. We don't have a lot of rental spaces available. The housing market, houses are being bought faster than you can barely go have a second look at them. So I think we do have some new housing on the horizon, which is going to be great. We also have a new industrial park going in Emory, which is going to open up jobs, but of course people to work. People who are working need a place to live. So that revolves back to the housing issue. Amory just passed a huge school referendum this past year. And so we're going to see a lot of remodeling at the schools, as well as a new child care center being put in.
Wow, that's exciting. Also super interesting to me because, again, I've heard this a little bit in the Wausau area, but certainly from my hometown in Richland Center, housing is probably the number one issue that they're facing as well. What's interesting to me is that Richland Center is about halfway between La Crosse and Madison, so you're a good hour or more from a major metropolitan community. How far is Amory of a drive to the Twin Cities or the suburbs, essentially?
To the suburbs, we're about 45 minutes.
Okay.
And then to Minneapolis, St. Paul, it's about an hour.
All right.
So there's a lot of people who live in Amory and commute to the Twin Cities. It's very common.
That's kind of what I was trying to get at. I think that's such an interesting take because, again, we're seeing people, isn't it fascinating that we're seeing people wanting to work or having to work in larger urban areas, but they want that quality of life from a town of 3,000 in Amory. And again, we saw the same thing I think there were 81 school referendums across the state and all but 17 passed this past election cycle. And I think it just speaks to whether you're in a larger town or a place. And a lot of these were like communities like Amory, where they weren't big communities, but local folks decided to invest in their public schools.
Correct. And you know what we saw a lot of after COVID in the Amory area was people figured out that they could work remotely. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of cabin people in Amory because, like I said, we're the City of Lakes. People had cabins here, but their main homes were in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. But they figured out during COVID they could easily work from their cabins. Mm-hmm. So they've sold their homes in the Twin Cities, and they've made Amory and the surrounding areas their permanent home now.
That is fascinating, and I think is an interesting dynamic because you have these Minnesotans. I mean, I know it's all kind of a larger area and community, but these folks in the Twin Cities now want to become Wisconsinites, at least from the point of they're going to live here. That has to have potential to change a community a little bit.
It does. It's actually great for the community. The more the merrier. It sees more dollars spent within our community. It increases the tax roll. And we have so much to offer. Why wouldn't someone want to live here?
Right. I mean, your point is so well taken that people have looked at communities like Amory for a long time as their vacation or play spot. Mm-hmm. And now post-COVID, they're saying, why not just be in the spot that I love all the time?
Be on vacation every day.
Well, like I said before, I can't wait to get up there. I know that we're in the process of building out our studios in downtown Amory right now. And as soon as those get done and set up, we're gonna bring this show up there. Then you can come in the studios live and we can do
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, me too. And would really enjoy a partnership and anything that the Free Press, we can help get the word out, anything in the community that we can help get the word out. We are here for you guys and want to do our part to support the community as well.
Right. Yeah, it's really a partnership between all forms of media, whether it's paper media, whether it's on air, whether it's online. It's all about the community.
This is interesting to me. Folks that, and again, first and foremost, we hope everybody subscribes as a subscription to the Free Press, but and also listens to us once in a while. But from a news gathering place, people in Amory, do you find that they watch more? Because you have two sets of TV stations. You have the Twin Cities, and you kind of have like the Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls right. area. Do people tend to watch one more than the other, in your opinion?
The Twin Cities, unless it's a Packer game. Some Packer games are only shown on Eau Claire.
That is a good point. April Zeber, thank you so very much. We appreciate you joining us. Have a great day up at Amory. We always appreciate talking
thank
to you.
Thank you for having me.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you very much. That is April Zeber, editor of the Amory Free Press and president of the Amory Community Club. Back after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media and Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. Time is 10:50 on this 6th of January, 2023. Glad you've been with us. Coming up at the top of the hour at 11 o'clock, our good friend and fantastic host of As Goes Wisconsin, Kristen Bry, will take over these airwaves across the Civic Media Radio Network. At 2 o'clock, if you're listening in WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, beautiful Wausau, you can be prepared to join Chad Holmes for the Chad Holmes Show. All things sports, community, and otherwise. Chad will update you on everything that is of interest in Wausau and beyond from 2 until 4 on WXCO. At 2 o'clock for the rest of the Civic Media Radio Network, it is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. They will update you on their tangents and takes from Washington to Wisconsin and sports and beyond, soccer, food, beer. It's like hanging out. It's like Dueling Tangents is like hanging out in a bar with a couple of cool dudes, which is exactly what it is. And then coming up at 3 o'clock, Matt Flynn Direct, taking on the day's issues, taking your calls. And from 4 until 6, our flagship program, Devil's Advocate, with Crudy and Dom. At 6 o'clock, we have Native Roots. And after that, it is the Rick Smith Show. So another fine lineup. Across Civic Media, also high school sports. I know Chad Holmes will be doing that this weekend as well. Phil Nee on WRCO and Richland Center. So we have you covered across the state of Wisconsin. Right now, though, time once again for Mr. Zommers to give us his board game of the week.
Welcome once again to Board Game on the Week, where we bring you a family favorite with a twist.
So today, I'm talking about Uno Party.
Not just Uno, Uno Party.
Although it's not Uno Party, it's Uno Party. It has an exclamation point.
I like that. All right, very good. Tell us about Uno Party.
So there have been a lot of variations of Uno over the years.
Yeah.
And most of them are lame and boring and not worth buying a whole other card game to play.
All right.
However, I played Uno Party. I said it wrong again, but let's just keep going. over the holidays with my family. And first of all, it supports 6 to 16 players.
What?
So
16?
It's a big old box of cards.
How many cards come with it?
A lot. Oh. It was a lot to shuffle. But
all right.
Basically, it still works with a lot of people. And that's because of the additions that they have to it. For one, they have, I don't remember the exact names of all these, because it's been a couple of weeks now, but there's one where it's a wild card with a little stack on it. So you play it, you choose your color, and you put a card on it of that color. Then you pass it, and the next person, if they have a card of that color, they play it and pass it along. So it's like its own little Uno pile. But then the first person who doesn't have a card of that color has to pick up the whole stack.
Okay. The whole stack.
Yes.
How do you keep all that in your hands?
Hands can get big. And then there's also a card with a pointer finger on it. You play it and then count down and everyone points at another player. And that player, you draw cards for each finger pointing at you.
Oh, really? So it's very interactive.
Yes, they keep it very interactive.
That's cool.
The one downside is that there are no words on the cards. So all the new mechanics, you're just going to have to learn them. For example, in past ones, skip will have the circle with a line through it, and it will say skip. This is just the circle and the line. So for the new things, like the pointer finger or the stack, you just have to know what they do. So gotcha. I think that is one downfall that they easily could have fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But the new rules are simple enough that it only takes a few turn cycles for you to internalize it decently. You just might have to remind some younger or older family members. But ultimately, it is still Uno. It's still a lot of fun, mm-hmm. and it engages a much larger group. So I like it. It's also $15.
Not bad.
So not too expensive.
Not bad.
For such a big pile of cards.
For Uno Party!
Uno Party! So yeah, that's the board game of the week.
Very good. That's very good. I like that one. I think, you have to have at least 6 players, you said, right?
Well, we played it with, I think, 5, and it was fine. You don't have to have 6 players, but you're not going to want to do it with, 3.
Right. Okay. Cool. I appreciate it, Aaron. Another great rendition and segment of Board Game of the Week there. Make sure you go out and get your Board Game of the Week. Spend a little time this weekend with people that you love, people that you care about. Don't forget to tell them that. Been a good week of shows. Appreciate everybody being with us this week. Appreciate our guest today, Brady Ewing, and also April Zimmer. Appreciate Mr. Zommer's in with us as well. Appropriate. I think we close out today on January 6th, thinking about, again, the men and women who protected the Capitol, who helped save democracy, the men and women who are poll workers as well. We thank all of them for what they have done to keep democracy strong. The unsung heroes of democracy are poll workers in America. It's getting harder to find poll workers as well because a lot of them are getting a riffraff from people, a lot of pressure. But we appreciate them continuing to step up to the plate and do what they do. Also appreciative as we kind of, I told Aaron, I for those of you who weren't here at the top of the show, Todd forgot to set his alarm last night. I got here on time. The show is fine, but I was pushing it. And so I ran out of the apartment today and forgot my Friday mimosa supplies. So we're still going to do Friday mimosa. It's just that we're going to do it without the mimosa this week. But that's okay. You can still do Friday mimosas without the mimosas. Just not quite as enlightening. So I don't know, Aaron, what are you thankful for this week? What are you toasting this week?
Well, I'm thankful that we are starting to get people back in person here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful that there are starting to be consequences for the actions that happened 2 years ago. Those are the two main things for me this week. What about you?
Nice. Thankful that I'm past COVID, and I think I'm getting better little by little from the sinus infection. Hopefully by next week I'll be back to near 100%. So thankful I'm on the mend for that, certainly. Thankful that democracy is working. It's working slowly, but it's still working. And watching all this in Washington, D.C. and seeing it kind of play out. Thankful that there is a process and that people aren't fighting each other with weapons on the floor, at least this time, opposed to 2 years ago. And thankful the football player, Damar Hamlin, is off a ventilator and is breathing and is talking. Very thankful for that as well. So lots to be thankful for, lots to celebrate. So as we do on Fridays, Aaron, who lives like we do?
We do.
Here's to you. Here's to everybody listening today. Happy Mimosa Friday, everybody. Enjoy a little beverage today. Packers play on Friday. Pardon me, on Sunday. COVID brain there. Packers play on Sunday Night Football. So tune into that on Civic Media. Until next week, everybody, this is Todd Allball. Make it a great weekend on Civic Media and keep banging your drum.
Keep banging on your drum.